Welcome to Floating Leaves Tea Podcast. This is your co-host, Noah, and joining us today we have our host...
Shouwen!
Yay!
Shen Jinping!
So, what tea are we drinking today, host Shouwen?
Today we are going to drink two Dongdings. Very exciting.
Dongding so, number A and number B.
Correct. And then for those of you who are listening, it's like, what the heck is that? So we actually have four Dongding teas here. And once every 3 months or so, we like to do a pretty fun tea tasting style called blind tasting.
The last 3 months we've done them. Every month.
Oh, every month. Okay, never mind. So we did a High Mountain Oolong one. We did a Baozhong one. And so we normally just write A, B, C, D, things like this, which is the teas that we actually carry. But so the customers who order the sampler and me, Shouwen, who don't know what the exact tea is, and then just to, my goal is to let people to just taste the tea as it is without knowing exactly what they are, to just to use your senses to know which tea you like the most. And then afterwards, you can nerd out on other things if you want to. So today is kind of my day to maybe taste these four Dongdings and then just pick one that I like without knowing, oh, is this a Mr. Lai's charcoal roast Dongding, or is this a Mr. Su's traditional A, or oh, which one would I like better? Oh, that one is more expensive and it's teacher's tea, I should like it better, right? Not necessary when it's a blind tasting like this. And it's very nerve-breaking.
Nerve-wracking.
Huh?
Nerve-wracking?
Oh, nerve-wracking.
It sounded like nerd-breaking.
Yeah, nerve-breaking, either way.
Both.
Yeah, both. For me, it's kind of breaking apart anyway. and it's very fun. It's very fun and it's very nerve-wracking because that part of me who thinks that I have to know, you know? Yeah.
You told me last time that if you don't get it right this time, you're going to quit.
Oh, well, I already, thanks to the Baozhong blind tasting, I actually guessed them 100% right. And so...
Oh, did you? That's good.
Yeah. So I say if Baozhong tea, I didn't nail it, then I'm going to quit. So I don't know if it's good news or bad news to you. I'm going to hang in there for a little bit longer. Because High Mountain Oolong tasting... I didn't get it right. And so it was for my ego. I feel like part of my ego got so crushed.
You got 33%.
Which our tea colleague, Tillerman, David said it's actually quite a good percentage if you like look at basketball or something or baseball.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
Something that, I mean, I don't know what he's saying, but something about...
If you look at how many shots they make in like the NBA, the percentage of shots that they successfully make into the basket.
I think he was talking about baseball, but kind of the same concept.
Yeah, I don't know sports, but I just, I kind of got the basic idea.
Very positive thinking. Anyway, so now we have Dongding A ready. And... Kind of tastes like a toasted grain with a little bit of sweetness. The body is quite smooth. The throat sensation is clear. And overall, very pleasant. And I don't think I'm going to do this recording with four of the Dongding. So I will just drink two and then maybe... see if I like A or B better, and then later in the afternoon I will hopefully to find time to do C and D and then remember what A and B was and then maybe just overall choose one. It doesn't mean anything, okay? It just means today when I brew these 40s I probably will choose, you know, whatever. Yeah, not probably, I'll choose a tea that I sincerely like today. And very interestingly, they see if in a live session on Tuesday, I think Tuesday 29th, you guys will see if I change my mind. Very possibly, I might change my mind, you know.
This is a bold tea.
Yeah, pretty.
Really clear what's happening.
Kind of a little bit dry on the...
On the finish?
Yeah, on the finish. But overall, the texture was very good.
Yeah.
Okay, but today we are not going to sit here and then talk about how these two tea tastes like. Since I'm doing this, I thought we can... yesterday, I received an email from a customer and gave me a really good question. And I thought I should answer the question also in the podcast today. And of course, I will personally write him an email. Sure. And maybe just ask him to listen to the podcast so I don't need to write too much. I think it's a new customer and then order maybe 5 different oolongs from us.
Some green tea.
And also some green tea. Yeah. And then he was very polite and very sincere. And first he asked how do we brew those teas that we offer? And so we kind of just give a pretty rough guideline for our oolongs and just say maybe do this and that, and then you know, not super specific, I will have to say this.
Yeah.
And then he wrote another email, said, do you just increase time on each infusion? And I just simply write it back, say, in a second infusion in raw oolong, a lot of times I don't actually increase the time than the first one, because I believe, I feel like raw oolong, first one needs a little bit more time to open. And then he was very polite yesterday to write back, say, why don't you guys offer guidelines for your tea brewing, the brewing, you know, for your tea. And I know that it's going to be a pretty long email to answer back. So I thought I would just also, with our, you know, try to just drink actually two dong things that I don't know. So might as well answer that question, kind of bring the subject all together. For example, like today, since I know that I'm going to drink at least 4 different dong things, I actually put in a little bit less volume than usual. It's not the usual strength that I put in, because I don't want to get too high, you know, by the end of the day.
And same size pot. It's the same pot that we use for dongding.
For dongding, I have actually a wood fire pot that I really like to use for dongding. And in the past, if I use this pot with the leaves, after I brew it, the leaf will be comfortably fill up the whole pot after the leaves 100% open up. This one, I say today will be maybe roughly after they open up, maybe 70% of the teapot. I do it on purpose. And so why don't I offer guidelines for the tea brewing? Because I don't know how. I actually don't know how to do that. And maybe let's bring back a little bit of the time and then talk a little bit of why I don't know how to offer people guidelines. When I first got into tea, I got into tea is I want to learn about it. I drank tea since very young life. When I was very young, I guess.
Since you were a child.
But I never pay attention to it, and I never pay attention to the tea brewing. I only, you know, people offer me a cup, I drank it, and I just say, oh, it tastes good. What are we drinking? And the other person always say, oolong. I say, oh, it tastes good. And I just ran off to play and stuff. I was a child. So I just remember oolong tea is the tea that we drank in Taiwan. And I just remember, you know, oolong tea is the tea that we drink. And do I use past tense on this one? We drink, whatever. And then it tastes good. But that's all I know about tea back then. I actually got curious with tea after I turned much older. Maybe almost in my early 30s. I was curious with tea brewing. And there's another long story I can get into why. why did I get curious with tea brewing? Maybe another story on that. So what happened to my curiosities, I started to ask the Asian communities in Seattle, that the people, that not the whole community, but that there's like maybe like three people I knew in this community that I knew they drink oolong tea. And then they will brew tea for me. I'll drink tea with them, and the tea tasted really good to me back then. So I will ask the question, how do you brew tea this well? And without fail, with three different people, the look is the same look. They feel a little bit confused. First of all, with that question, what do you mean? and then they will kind of sink in a little bit, and they always offer me a really sincere answer. Use your feelings. And at that time, I was not really connected with tea. My follow-up question is like, feelings? Awesome. What kind? Do I have to feel very happy? Or do I have to... Is there a really specific feeling that I should use? And then they feel even more confused with their look, with the follow-up questions. And that's how I actually started to learn how to brew tea with my questions, is how, a really big question, how. Then, back in 2005, my ex-husband and I decided to open a tea house. So we went to Taiwan to source tea and to learn tea. And I watch every single person that came into, that I came across in my tea journey in 2005. I watch how they brew tea. I think that was a big realization to me. I actually like to observe and to watch people's body language, and then also observe if we have other tea drinkers on at the same table, what kind of questions do they ask, and what kind of questions do I ask? I notice, you know, people will just sit there and drink tea, and I notice in different places, all the place so far that I see, nobody use a measurement, no thermometer, no scale. The only scale place that I ever seen with a timer is tea competition, so far. And I bet there are some shops that I have never gone into that probably use a timer to brew their tea if they are serving tea in a cup to I normally go visit farmers, tea roasters, you know, et cetera, and also some shop owners, but just those shop, you know, those people don't use thermometer and any kind of a measurement thing. So I watch and I learn, and I thought, well, this is their ways, like a lot of people's ways of doing things, of brewing tea, I mean. And so, first of all, nobody measure anything besides tea competition. So do I measure tea or not? I guess not, since they don't do it. So I watch their body language. I watch how they do tea. There is a very specific feeling on the table, their connection with their tea. They know exactly, maybe not exactly, but they know what they are doing. They just know. And then the results is that actually, most of the tea that they brew tasted pretty good no matter what they did. They can use a teapot, they use a gaiwan, they use boiling water, pretty much boiling water in Taiwan most of the time. I haven't heard anybody specifically told me that I have to lower the temperature. So I said, okay, got it, boiling water.
But sometimes they use more tea and sometimes they use less tea.
Correct.
The same person, different people brewing the same tea.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. And so... So then I started to try to figure out my own way here. When I come back to the States, then how do I brew tea then? And then, you know, business was open, you know, many people came to drink tea. And then a lot of questions that, what kind of temperature, how many grams do you use, et cetera, et cetera. And I started to notice the differences between these two cultures. And I found it very interesting. Of course, we think very differently. Then how do I approach this then? because I have to find my own space in tea too, my own place in tea. Who am I in tea in Seattle? While all the teas that the majority of the teas that I learn is in Taiwan, then what am I? Who am I as a person and as a space? What can I do? You know, and I love both of the cultures. I feel very blessed to study, to get into the US culture, and to realize how much the Taiwanese or / Chinese and / Japanese culture it's influence in my thinking and in my body. And me as a human, I really enjoy sensing different cultures and be in different cultures, and at the same time to look back at what my culture have to offer me. I feel very lucky, and I thought, well, then I think this is my place in tea. Is sure, I have my own interpretations, but the original creation of what tea, my tea knowledge and my basic knowledge in tea, it's actually all from Taiwan. Then there's so much to offer, and I just love it. Why don't I bring this into the Seattle area and just find a way to share with what I learned in Taiwan to people? And so actually for many years, I struggled to offer tea brewing instruction on my website. And then I finally just abandoned that, because in the past, my tea instruction will be, hey, somebody is in the shop. Great. Do you have a timer? Okay. Let's brew. Oriental Beauty. I need a timing for that. And so I would just grab some tea leaves in my hands, put it into my pot, and the pot is dry, and I feel like the quantity is good. And so I will take it out and then measure the grams. I don't measure the grams first. I actually put it in there first, and I say roughly about 5 grams. Oh, great. Today I like 5 grams. And then so the person who helped me will, you know, just time my tea brewing. And then when I pour it out, then the person who helped me will just stop the timer and then just write down how many seconds and stuff. And even with that, when I can see it, it really impacts my tea brewing. So for a while, then I tell those people, do not show me, do they write down 47.5 seconds or something? I don't know, just that number or any number, just like to almost give me a feeling that, am I doing it correctly? Which I don't even know what is correct, because that's based on that day's my brewing feeling. And so am I, if I do it that way, I'm not actually, am I offering people a guideline that I ask myself? I'm offering people that specific day, how I brew that specific tea. And the thing is, I stopped doing that because I know that the second day when I, let's say, let's time the Oriental Beauty again with the same pot. And I think I know that the result is going to be different. And so maybe there's like three seconds of difference. But which tea tastes better, you know? I think we'll be the judge, the tea drinker. Then I think, am I really offering a guideline to help people or not? Because what I want to offer is something to help, not to, in a way, hinder a tea person from learning and exploring. And I know a lot of people are very frustrated with this kind of learning and teaching style, including myself in Taiwan. I don't know how many of you that I told before that the first few years when I learned tea in Taiwan, I feel that I was drowning. I feel like nobody was teaching me. Yeah. Including so many times, there are 5 teas in front of me. I will ask people, which one do you like the most? Nobody will answer that question. nobody until today. I learned tea seriously since 2005 until right now it's 2019. Nobody on the table ever tell me which tea that we are drinking is better. So just then you keep that, think about it, why they don't do that. Are they keeping secrets? I don't think so. It's their style of teaching. And I found it really profound and beautiful. And I love it. So I think I'm ranting a lot today. So I maybe it's another conversation that you can write to me and ask me, or just call me. Doesn't mean that I'll answer your phone call. Also, my message is saying I'm still in Taiwan. So don't believe in my message. Just keep calling. So what am I getting into? And Noah, you are very nice to put my thoughts back in center again. Do you have anything else to say since you learned tea from me?
Yeah.
Good. Well,
I just had one the other day. A customer came in and asked me a really good question. He said, when I brew tea at home, because we were brewing High Mountain Oolong, and he said, I don't know how you can make it so strong without getting bitter and kind of broken down. Mm. He said, you seem like you put a lot more leaves than I do, and you brew it for longer than I do. Mm. He said, when I brew tea, I can't go past 30 seconds, but it seems like sometimes you're brewing it as long as like a minute or 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if I try that at home and do exactly what you do, the tea maybe will get messed up somehow.
Yeah.
Too bitter or just broken down in some way. The flavor doesn't come out. Mm-hmm. There's a flavor that people talk about as being burned. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that just the other day. Mm-hmm. People will say, oh, I burn the tea. I know what flavor you're talking about, but just because you use hot water doesn't mean that's what's burning the tea, you know? Mm. So how can he and I do the exact same thing, but his doesn't show up and mine does? And your way of talking about it, because you learned tea from people in Taiwan, is to say maybe the feeling isn't quite right. Mm-hmm. Huh? Maybe. Mm-hmm. The way I told him is that I just practice tea more than you. And I know that because when I go back to Taiwan and I see a teacher, he can brew tea even stronger than I can with it still holding up. He can brew tea with 3 or 4 times the amount of leaves that I put in.
Yeah.
For 3 or 4 times the amount of time that I brewed the tea. Mm-hmm. And it tastes like 100 times better than my tea.
Yes.
Or 200 times better than my tea. So how can he do that? And I do the exact same thing. I've tried it before. Do the exact same thing that he's doing. Exactly the same thing that he's doing. And the tea totally broken down. So how come? You know, he's practiced more. Mm-hmm. He has the feeling with it. He's more connected to the tea. Mm-hmm. You talk about that's the feeling is you're more connected mm-hmm. with the tea on the table.
And I know that this touch on maybe a feeling that's maybe focus on the feeling. Then you said, then what is that? I don't know. I'm a beginner. You know, I'm a beginner. I don't know what, just like me in the beginning, what is the feeling that I have to approach and what, I mean, like from a seriously unknown position, like what should I be doing?
A lot of times when people ask me that question, and forgive me if you've asked me this question, I gave you this answer. They say, oh, how long should I brew my tea? I say, maybe 5 grams for 30 seconds. It's really simple. That's going to work for any of us, you know? Or it's not going to work, but at least it gets you started to brewing tea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I could say, put in 5 grams of your teapot and brew the tea for 30 seconds. But once you taste the tea, if it's too strong, you can back off on the amount of time or back off on the amount of leaves. Mm-hmm. If it's not strong enough, add more time or add more leaves. But keep the water at boiling temperature so there's not so many different variables. Mm-hmm. And just brew your tea like that.
Mm-hmm. And we are talking about 30 seconds because we're actually talking about smaller teapots, not a 30-ounce size. If you use 30-ounce size and then brew it for 30 seconds, I don't think that's much flavor is going to come out.
But I'll just come up with a guess, you know, and I'll say something different a lot of different times that people ask me that question. like, how do I brew tea, or what do I put in the teapot? I come up with a different answer depending on how I'm thinking about it that day.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it hopefully gets you to start brewing your tea and not too afraid to just put tea in a pot mm-hmm. and brew it.
And I understand the discomfort of when you are a brand new person to just slowly got into tea and you are very curious with the Kung Fu side of tea brewing. It is, you know, something from that absolutely not knowing anything to have want to do something. I just don't know if you guys have a way to watch people brewing tea. Actually, it's by watching people that you have a way to drink the tea together and to is that discern?
Mm-hmm.
To discern that does that cup of tea taste good?
Mm.
And if it tastes good, then you start to learn from that person's feelings and body languages, because the body language have a very specific feeling.
Mm.
Just like when you watch your, let's say, grandma cooking, and you know your grandma cook very well, or something like that. So find somebody who can really cook, and then watch how they are cooking stuff.
And then watch someone who doesn't know how to cook at all and watch their body language in the kitchen.
Yeah, that is a huge difference. And the person who can cook, their body language is very beautiful. And then the person who cannot cook, it's not that it's not beautiful. It's
can be awkward.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
And so if you watch somebody who brew tea, then you might actually get that feeling. And why is that important? That's the feeling you want to capture and maybe imitate in the beginning. And secondly, I would like to say, learning is not comfortable. Learning is not comfortable. The way that we can get better is because we make mistakes. Do you know my first 10 pots of tea is so undrinkable? People always just like become very silent because the tea was so broken. And do you know why I know it's so broken? Because I drank it too. And I know it's awful. And so, you know, I think to have a guideline of every single tea, it's very safe and very comfortable. But tea is alive. Even with the same bag of tea that you drink, if you have a larger volume, you know, like you have 4 ounces of tea and then you drink this tea for the next 30 days, every day, the same.
Use the same guidelines, it's going to be different every time.
Yeah, the thing is, it's going to be different, the result.
Guidelines are not the road to consistency.
Yeah, try it. Actually, try it. If you don't believe in what we just say right now, it's true. Every day you use like the same method and the same teapot, though, the same teapot, the same water, and do the same measurement. Sincerely taste your tea tastes different. So for me, then what is guideline? Guideline is just to, if you want specific guideline, they just to maybe let you find that comfortable zone that your tea doesn't turn too off the rail. But after that, when you find that feeling that you can, so if you sincerely want to use 6 grams, no problem.
Yeah.
Nobody says it's wrong. Okay. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but please look at your leaves, look at different style of leaf, different style of raw oolongs, different style of open leaf oolongs, tender leaf oolongs, more mature leaf oolongs, etc., different shapes of oolongs. Look at how much it feel in your hand, and look at them in your hand. When you measure it, after you measure it, don't put it in a pot, put it in your hand and really look at your leaves. And then put it in your pot, and then look at them in your pot, kind of engage them, like where it, like, how do you say?
Like where it comes up to?
Yeah, where it comes up to in the pot. This way, it can engage you to know roughly what 6 grams of tea from different style of teas actually is, how much it is, just by your hands. Just like a really good cook don't measure 3 teaspoons of salt in this food. They just know, they grab it, they know this is good. This is a good amount. And do you know when they know it's not good amount? Taste it. Oh, too light. Let me take another small pinch. So next time, their pinch of the salt is gonna be way more sensitive than the previous time.
Yeah, I don't believe there's any cook out there, any amazing cook out there that hasn't made a huge amount of mistakes.
Yeah, and so with this way, you get to know your tea a little bit deeper rather than without connection, just rely on the, let's say, X amount of grams and X amount of timer. So at first, sure, if you are so uncomfortable, use the timer. Like, oh, Shouwen told me this tea, 30 seconds. But my take on this thing is I don't want you to just look at the timer, okay? And then just let timer decide what 30 seconds feel. I want you to look at the timer and actually in your body, you count what is 30 seconds feel like. And then what do you discern that 30 seconds is actually you pour. So maybe at first really use a white base teacup. Pour the tea out. Look at the color. Look at the color. Take a sip. Too astringent. Too astringent. Okay. Maybe 30 seconds is a bit too long then because I cannot take astringency. But it doesn't mean that 30 seconds is wrong though, because maybe because I can take astringency a little bit more than you do. You know? And so use that, and then maybe the next time tomorrow do exactly the same thing besides the 30 seconds because you don't like the color and astringency. Not because you don't like the color. You associate that specific color with this tea. Then maybe tap it off for 25 seconds. Pour it out. I like this a little bit better. Then start to brew tea without a timer and look for that color. Then your brain will associate how to brew that tea without any influence from outside rather than you will be from inside. And then someday your physical timer is going to be off. Then you pour that tea out and then you take a sip. So, whoa! It's so bitter today. It's so bitter today. I can't take this tea. Hey, you know what? A mistake was made. Big deal. And then you learn from that. What happened? Why is my internal clock so off today? Is it really off? Maybe you can secretly time yourself without looking at the timer. And then someday you are going to just let your tea go. You know, like, I don't know. I'm just in the mood. I want to brew this tea for a minute. I know it's wrong. Minute is should be wrong because I don't like it for 30 seconds anyway. So it must be wrong. Watch out for surprises. Watch out when the tea wants to come out and show off to you. Watch out. That's the moment that sometimes you just go to a different place with your tea because the tea wants you to. So with this, then I feel that there's more chances for you to, first of all, to live your life dangerously. And second of all, to challenge yourself, where do I feel uncomfortable? And what can I do with it? Is tea really, it's always fixed in a box? Or can tea be more than that? So,
almost 40 minutes.
Oh my God. And I just said, I want to drink two teas. I'm only with one tea. Today is the renting day, I guess. So I cannot tell you if I like A or B better because I only drink A. Oh my goodness. Don't drink A, I mean. So I hope you don't feel like we are being very mean. If you want to, I can stop you. But I hope you can try to understand where I'm coming from when it's about tea. I want it to be very beautiful for you and me. I want both of us to challenge, not both of us, that I want all of us to know what challenge feels like and to be able to seek that beauty. And if you say, then I like to be in a comfortable place, no problem either. I won't judge you because I like to be comfortable too. But I just have the personality that I think I like things challenging because I like to see where else I can go. And so this is just the way that I learned from Taiwan, and I'd like to share this with you guys. From, I think to learn each other's culture is very challenging, but when we try to understand each other, it's very beautiful. We are so different. But I think sometimes we have so much in common, and this is almost getting political, but I see that in tea actually. Mm. And even if after you hear this episode, but I'm really a beginner. Can I ask you like basic guidelines? Yes, please do. I'm going to give you certain seconds number from today's brewing, you know? And, yeah, I think that's it.
I have an advice I'd like to give.
For people. Okay. Cool.
One, like you said, brew tea with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really ground zero. So drink tea with other people. Tea is a communal thing. You can join other people in drinking tea and learn from each other. But two, if you're not around some place where you know someone brews tea really, really well, you can feel that feeling in a video. There's definitely videos online of people that know how to brew tea pretty well or really, really, really well. You just watch and try to get the feeling from there. If you can't tell what we're talking about, this feeling, go and try to find it on a YouTube video somewhere.
Or come to Seattle to see us.
Or yeah, come drink tea with us in Seattle. Or find a local tea shop. You think they brew tea really well and drink tea with them and feel like, oh, okay, I kind of see what they're talking about. Or I have no idea what they're talking about. This person has a weird feeling of brewing tea. Then, you know, use your own or trust yourself, you know. But then practice that way. Try to see if you can call out that feeling. And it's okay to be awkward at first. It's definitely going to be awkward at first. We all were at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I lived with this guy one time that I don't know what he was doing when he was cooking, but he was like, I walked in the kitchen and he just had like a tomato and a serrated steak knife. And the tomato was just on the counter. There was no cutting board. And he was just like mashing it up with the steak knife. So that guy didn't know how to cut a tomato, right? It was just like a big mushy mess by the time he was finished with it all over the counter. That's a pretty awkward way of cooking. But maybe he learned something from that. I don't know if he did or not, but basically it's okay to be awkward. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And then if you hit some moments that you feel like it's super challenging and you don't know what you are doing, you know, feel free to reach out. Feel free to reach out. Like we hit moments that we don't know what we are doing, that we learn from each other. We try to study together and then we go to Taiwan and ask the teachers, you know, and they might give us an answer or not. But the fundamental thing that they say to us is always, practice.
Yeah.
You know, practice. Tea can be very simple and tea can be a long journey of practice. Depends on where you want to go with it.
Yeah, teacher, why is my tea not as good as yours? Because you haven't practiced enough. I'm not even trying to be mean, just very obvious to him. What do you mean? It's because you haven't practiced enough.
Yeah. And so, but still have fun with it. Yeah. And from the learning, you know, even when it's difficult, the moment hits, then you just watch it. Just sit with it and watch it. And when it's when there's a beautiful moment shows up, then just, you know, indulge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good today. You know, then the next day try to call out how I can do this again. And if you can't do it again, also allow yourself to be. I see tea as a wonderful personal practice on my, if you want to say meditation or whatever, it's actually part of my practice on that. Yeah. And I think we should close it.
That was a long, long
it's a long episode. And then so I will try to reveal which dongding I like a little bit better on this blind tasting before the blind tasting event. And kind of fun. And happy tea drinking. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends to listen. And please shop on our website. Give us feedback. You know, communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you.
And thank you for the good question.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And that's it. See you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.